So today, we're starting out, and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about giving your testimony. And we want to talk about how to share that, because I think that's very important for us to be able to do succinctly and properly. A lot of times, you don't have a lot of time talking with folks. And so we want to be able to help you boil things down so you can say it really, very rapidly, yet cover all your bases and make sure you're doing the things that are proper. And we also want to make sure that you understand that it's for the Lord. I love this passage, don't you? Look what it says. Read it with me. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. This is a set of doors that are actually on a church facility in Florence, Italy. And the guy in the 1400s that beat these out of bronze, they're different stories from the Bible. And they have different. This is the Garden of Eden. And they just have different stories that go with each one of them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece that it's remained is amazing, too. But I think it's just great to understand we can enter into God's presence by focusing on him. And we're there and we're to praise him. And as we talk with other people, we're to be involved in praise. So we want to talk about your testimony, giving praise to God and telling other people what he's done. Now, there are several types of testimonies you can give. One is your testimony about how you've met Jesus Christ. And that's always good to give, and you can share that. But I got to tell you, I think probably 20 to 40 times more I share the second one. What God's doing in my life as I'm walking with him. And I got to tell you, that's extremely important to be able to share with people. How do you share with them what God's doing? We want to make sure that as you do this, you're really focusing on what he's done. And to do that, the best testifiers are the people that take a back seat. Like the best worship leaders are people you don't see them. You're focused on the Lord. You don't see the people anymore. And so the best way to give a testimony is to make sure God is in the strong forefront, that he's the one that you're talking about. So we want to help with that a little bit. Because many times we can tell stories, and I know you're a lot like me. We tend to go on to the sidelines about the story. We give a lot of color to the story. When you listen to football, the guys, you understand this. We listen to football, they have a guy who's calling the play-by-play, but they got another guy who's bringing in the color, right? Well, that's what they used to call it. And what that guy's doing is he's describing situations that are taking place. He describes the sideline stuff. But we sometimes can get involved in all that sideline stuff, and people miss the fact that God was the main reason we're sharing this. So how do we help do that? Let me just share with you some ideas. To do that, what we're going to do is we're going to look this week at the Old Testament examples. We could go to a lot of them, but I've just pulled out three. Then next week I'm going to pull out three New Testament examples that talk about somebody giving testimony. And these are not going to be necessarily their salvation testimonies. They're not going to be telling how they start walking with the Lord. These are going to be what happened as they're walking their life with the Lord. Because those testimonies are super important. And then later on, we're going to talk about the beginning of our salvation. How do we talk about that with someone? So we're actually going to help frame that up in the days ahead. So here's the first one we're going to be looking at. And we're going to look at an example of somebody giving a testimony. Do you remember Eliezer of Damascus? You know who that is? He was Abraham's servant. And in chapter 24 of Genesis, you have this interesting story where Abraham calls him in and says, I want you to go find a wife for my son. That, I don't know how well that would play out today in our society. Quite frankly, if you went to India, that plays out fully over there as parents choose the partners for their children. And so he said, find a wife. And he said, I want you to go to the country I came from and find a wife from my people. Now, I've got to tell you, that's a major task. It'd be like us saying, go to New York City and find somebody. They had no telephones. They had no phone books. They had no internet. They had no way to be able to do this kind of communication that we can find out people's names, find out their whereabouts. I mean, we can search for people with unique ways that they couldn't do in their day. They had none of that. And so he has this task of going to find a bride for Isaac. And as he goes out, he's been given this task by his master, Abraham. And so as he heads out for the task, he goes and he finds a well. There are a lot of people, by the way, if you read in the Old Testament times, that found marriage partners at wells. And Moses did. Here's one taking place here. There are five or so in the Bible. When this situation took place, he comes up to, and do you remember the story? Remember what he did? He prays and says, "Lord, would you cause it so that when I pull up, that a gal comes out, she gives offers to give me a drink." This is the big test. "And she offers to water my camels." Now, camels can go for days without water, but when they get ready to drink, they do it. And they drink a lot. So to supply water for her, the camels, was not one bucketful. It was going to be multiple times her doing this. So it was really going to be a giving of herself to this stranger. And he said, would she do that? And Lord, lead me the right one. And so he tells the story after he finds Rebecca. He goes and then goes to her family's home. And he relates to them what God did.
Food was set before him to eat.
This is the
story. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand."
"Speak on."
"I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family. For if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please, give me a little water from your pitcher to drink." And she says to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also." Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists, and I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son.
So there you have the story. Did you hear his testimony? Who was he talking about? I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? Because he talks about what his master sent him to do, but he also said, his master said, "My God is going to send his angel to go before you." And did you notice he said, "And I got there, so I prayed." And who's he praying to?
God.
And then did you hear what he said? "Before I finished praying in my heart, boom, here comes Rebecca." Right? And then everything begins to fall in place. And then he constantly saying, "God has done this, and God has done this, and God has done this." Did you catch the emphasis? It was there. Sure, he told the story. He was involved. But who's the prime mover in this? Who did the heavy lifting? He couldn't find where that girl was. God did it. And if you continue, we didn't continue with the story, but she consents to go back. And as she goes back, they finally get to, and we're talking 600 miles roughly on camelback. Okay, so I have never ridden a camel, but I would imagine it's a rather tedious trek. And 600 miles, you know, they're going to make at best 20, 25 miles a day. So it's going to take them quite a while to get there. And so when they finally get there, I mean, she's really left home. When they finally get there, she sees Isaac in the field, and it says, and she got off her camel, and she put on her veil, and it says that he went to her, and he loved her. And it's interesting how God brought these two together. But it is God doing that, setting. And the testimony is real clear that it's God who's accomplishing the task. Now, take your Bible with me, and let's go to another passage. This passage is in the book of Samuel. And in this one, you can't see him real well, but that's a boy carrying a sheep. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the story of David. You remember David was the runt of the litter. David was the eighth of eight children. He was the youngest boy. His brother's a lot older than him. He has three brothers that are serving in Saul's military. And at that point in juncture, David has been told by his dad to go take some cheese and some bread down to his brothers, give the cheese to the commander over his brothers, trying to gain favor with them, and just find out how the boys are doing. So in chapter 17, as he goes down, he sees Goliath for the first time. And he hears Goliath raging against the people of Israel. Remember, this dude was 9 feet 6 inches tall. Ray, how tall are these ceilings? 8 or 9 feet. So if he came in here, he probably couldn't stand up. He would have to bend over. That's a pretty tall person. All right. He had been a warrior since his youth because he was such a massive man. As a boy, he learned how to be a warrior. And he was just a major warrior. I mean, he was the champion. I don't know who the champion in wrestling sittings today is. But, I mean, he would be known throughout his world as a champion. And many times they would have battles, we know from history, where you would have two champions come out and fight, and whichever champion won, the other side would lose. Now, they most of the time wouldn't lay down their arms without a fight, but it would so demoralize them that they would be overwhelmed. And so here's the situation. He's calling out saying, send somebody out for me. Saul would have been the logical choice. Remember, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. He looked like a king. He looked like a champion. He looked like a warrior. But he was scared. And so David says, I'll go do it. Now, this is his testimony. This is what he says. But David said to Saul, now Saul is saying, you can't go out. You're a boy. He's been trained from his youth. There's no way you can go out against him. But David comes back with these words. He gives a testimony. He says, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he's defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Isn't that neat? I mean, David drives the point in. Who did it? The Lord did it. The Lord delivered him. We don't know fully how it happened, but that he went with his sling after Goliath. I think he probably went with his sling after the lion and the bear, don't you? I mean, make logical sense that he would go and pop them with that. And it's real funny to read some of the things that some of the people who don't believe David lived write about, some of the scholars, and I put that in quotation, who they might be scholars in understanding languages, but they don't know the scriptures. And in that, they just say, there's no way anybody with a sling could have done this kind of thing. And yet, until the 1800s, they were using slings in military in our world. And people got very good at it. I mean, you know, if you're keeping sheep, sheep are pretty docile unless they're chased or something. David had a lot of time doing nothing. I imagine he just knocked off leaves off of plants that were around. You know, saw an ant in an anthill and backed up to where he could barely hardly see it and threw and got really good and accurate. It would pop out a lion. I mean, because people have looked at this and said, that's stupid. This is like Daniel Boone killing a bear when he was only 3. I mean, you know, how could David have done this? And yet, quite frankly, you could have a good hit with a rock and wipe out an animal, at least knock it down, and then come over and use your knife. I mean, fully reasonable, given the skill that David had. So David said, the Lord who did this, the Lord delivered me. And so I think, again, he's given a great testimony. Is he involved? Is David involved? Does he recognize where his source is coming from? Absolutely. One more testimony I'd like you to hear. This, again, if you want to take in your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 6, because Isaiah is going to share this testimony with us. But in Isaiah 6, Isaiah has this unique experience. Isaiah was a prophet who served in the administrations of a number of kings in Judah. And in chapter 6, right after a great king dies whose name is Hezekiah, then Isaiah has this major experience. And Isaiah chapter 6 is him giving testimony to that. Listen to this now. Do you have the sound up? Okay. Then I don't know why it's not coming. But that doesn't matter. We can read it. Turn with me to Isaiah 6. You have to hear it in my voice rather than his voice. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. And with 2 he flew. And the post of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. I'm sorry, I must have missed a piece. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. And one, verse 3. And one cried to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post and the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. Boy, can you imagine what that means? The voice of these angels was so strong that it was shaking things. You ever felt thunder when lightning strikes and thunder causes things to vibrate because it's so strong? That's a bit like what his voice sounded like, the angel's voice. My goodness. And the post of the doors were shaken by the voice who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I. Send me. Well, now this is a testimony where he's actually seeing God, so God takes a major center part of it. But you understand? He's always talking about what's happening with him. It's the interaction between these people and God. And so one of the great things that we can do in our lives is testify about what God has done. Now, there were things that were similar in these testimonies. Did you catch the things that were similar? Tell me some of them. They all talked about God. That's definitely one of them. What was something else that's similar? They saw God as their source. That's right. They're talking about Him as their source. What else did you hear?
They used God more than I or me.
Okay. They talked a bit about, of course, David talked a lot about him, right? Well, he talked about God at the very end of it. He really gave him the high billing. But, I mean, they did talk about them, right? I mean, because if it's, you're not talking about what somebody else did. You know? This weekend I had to speak at for the trustees of the seminary and lead them in worship. And I was sharing about Luke's story. You remember Luke from last week and the story he told us, those of you who were here? You know? Well, I'm telling now the story that somebody else told. And so I was telling what he did. And that was good, it's fine, but it's different when you're saying what I did. Because you're there. You get to testify about what you saw. If you're in a court of law and they call you as a witness, you're not really supposed to tell what somebody else said. Right? Unless you heard them. I mean, you're not to say, oh, yeah, well, Luke said this. What you're saying is what you said. You talk about what you saw and what you heard and how you felt and what you saw in the situation, and it's about what you did. So that's what we do when we testify about the Lord. Let me just share with you some things I noted. Lord was given a proper place, all right, because he was given that place of position of really being the one doing things. The person was talking about trusting God. And the last is the main thought. There's a main thought about what the Lord did in the situation. Listen to this. There's a main thought that's going on. Did you catch the main thought with each one of them? I mean, there's something that's a thought. There's something they're talking about. They just aren't mouthing stuff. They have a point they want to put out. For Eliezer of Damascus, he said this, I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master who had led me in the way of truth. What was the point for him? Guidance, right? I needed to know how to find this gal. God, I mean, I just got this idea. I prayed and God answered. And so there's one of the ways that God works in this setting. We come before Him and God provides guidance. So that's the theme that was there. God guiding. For David, what was the theme? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of neat. I mean, he says, the Lord who delivered me, He will deliver me. I mean, so this concept of protection, God's protection, God's deliverance is a theme. And he shares about what God has done. But you can see what he's talking about. Sometimes when we testify, we talk about so many things that people forget what we were talking about. And we need to center in on, have you ever done that? I mean, I've done that. I go ahead and I start talking about something. And I go, now, why did I say that? You ever done that? You know, we gotta focus on what we're going to do when we tell the story. And so what I want to try and have you do over these next weeks is to think about a story of something that happened and then figure out what the topic is. You know, what the topic is. What was the topic for Isaiah? I mean, what the topic I think was there is he's talking about the Lord and the Lord getting him ready, but I think for Isaiah it was sending to serve. You know, he meets up with God and God says, God's holy. He sees he's not. God takes care of that. And then God says, now go. And the way he did it was he asked him, who's going to volunteer? I mean, he was the only one in the room. You understand that? It's not like God was saying this to a whole bunch of people. He's just saying it to Isaiah. Who'll go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I. You know, a lot of times when God asks questions, it's not for, because he doesn't know. Right? It's always for us. He said to Adam and Eve, where are you? Remember that? And it wasn't because he didn't know where they were. I mean, they were only people on earth. He was coming around to see them. It was because they had moved from their relationship with God. So, you have this setting taking place. Sending to serve. All right. So those are the topics that are there. What are other topics that people share testimony about? About God's healing them. Sure. There's that situation of God talking about healing. What are other topics? God's provision. How God took care of people. And what's another one? God bringing comfort when you're upset and, you know, messed up. And he's there to comfort you. It really helps, right? What else? What's another one?
Protection.
Sorry? Protection. God's protection?
What's another one? God mending relationships.
God mending relationships. Helping with that. What are other topics? Say that one more time, sir.
His provision,
right. Where he takes care of you.
Peace.
Forgiveness. Say it louder. Thanksgiving. How about lack of fear? Overcoming fear. How about overcoming Satan? Right. How about how when God gave you guidance so that you went one way and not another way and you found the marvelous thing that happened with that? There are a whole lot of then things that can feed off of these particular ones where we share about what God provides for us. Because as a father, he provides for us stability. He provides for us help. And that help, that word's a big one, right? I mean, the help can come in so many, 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 many different ways. But we always need to reference that it's the Lord who's providing that. So those are just some other topics. And so what I'd like you to do is when you think of giving a testimony, you need to think about what did God do in this? And that needs to be a thought before you give your testimony. Does that make sense? What did God do? Because the whole reason we're getting up is not us. The whole reason we're getting it shouldn't be us. It should be the whole reason we're getting up is because it's God and what He's done. And we're testifying for what He's done. So the thing is, think about that. What has God done? If you can put a tag on it, if you can even start off with that, then that'll help you make sure people understand this is what God's done, and that's why I want to tell you. All right? What are some elements to include when you give a testimony today? Well, let me just suggest. You need to always make sure people understand what God has done. You need to tell them what the setting was, because they need to see it's really something that happened in life. The next thing you want to do is you want to tell them how you were involved. Because God always involves you, right? I mean, when God split the Red Sea, He involved a human being, right? Moses had to hold his rod up over that special rod he had over the sea. If he hadn't have done that, it wouldn't have happened. But God was the one who did it. Moses is involved. I mean, Joshua was told, this is where we're going to take Jericho. They did it. It was God who did it. All throughout the Scriptures, it's God using people. So He's going to use you. You're going to be involved. And you need to share how that was. And then I think it's always good to share what the results were. You know, sometimes it's simple. Sometimes the results are in progress. Right? We're not fully done yet. And so we share about that. But always the emphasis needs to be on God. Because, you know, our purpose here on earth is not to gain glory for ourselves, it's to give glory to God. Our purpose here on earth is not to get people to watch us, it's to get people to point to God. In the society in which we live, the purpose of them is to get people to acclaim them, to applaud them, to say, oh, how great you are. But for people who are in the kingdom of God, our purpose is to get people to go, no, it's not us, it's God. It's God who's the one who's great. It's the God who's the one who's done this. So, let me give you an example of this, can you? Let me give you a testimony. And the testimony is how I saw the Lord open up the heart of a young lady. Last week, I was invited to lunch at Lone Star. So I went out to lunch at Lone Star, and as I parked the car before I went in to have lunch with this friend of mine, I prayed. Because this is what I do a lot of times when I go in. I just prayed and said, Lord, would you please bring the proper waitress to our table, or have me be seated at a table where a waiter or waitress is that I can speak to about you. And so I prayed that before I went in. And when I pray that, I expect that that's going to be taking place. And so I went in and after I prayed for the person and met my friend and we sat down. And she came around and asked us, you know how they do, you know, drink and the other stuff. And so I engaged her, and I engaged her about the fact I was going to pray. We were going to pray before we ate, and was there something that we could pray for? And it's always fun to ask that question because you don't know what the response is going to be from the person. And many times from the way they respond, you can tell what's going to take place. So I've been praying for her before I went in. Didn't know it was her praying for the person. And so I asked her that question. And all of a sudden she said, yeah, can you pray for me about school? And I said, oh, where do you go to school? And so I started engaging with her about her life, finding out about her. Now she went to UNCG. She was a senior. She was a communications major. She'd just taken a course with Brad Jones from Channel 8. Dealing with journalism. She's thinking about maybe that for a career. She has a course, though, she has to take in earth sciences. Science is a terrible subject for her. She finds it extremely hard, and it was going to be a very difficult course. She was taking it online, and she didn't know how she's going to do because she's so poor in that area. And I said, well, okay, that's a specific request. And so I said, well, you know, I can talk to the person who made earth science about you, and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to pray for you about this. And so I asked her about her name, and we shared a little bit more when she came back. Her name is Miley. And so as we finished up, my friend gave a really neat tip. I mean, a good tip, a strong tip to her. And I really appreciate that, because that sort of cements the encounter. You know, when all of a sudden it's brought in with a stronger tip, that makes an impression on them. And then I've been praying for Miley each day that she has this class she's taking online. Don't know what day she's doing it, so every day I'm praying for her. And I'm praying that God's going to help her come to know earth science real well, and that she'll understand that it's God who gave her that help. So I've been praying for her. I'm asking the Lord to help her with a subject that's difficult for her, and asking the Lord to bring people into her life who know Him, who bring His Word in. You know, we've been praying during our time of 40 days, right? So she came in late, but I've added her to my 40-day list because I'm praying for her. Now, she doesn't seem to have a relationship with the Lord. I asked her a couple of questions to probe that a little bit, and there doesn't seem to be any of that. She wasn't opposed to God, just no relationship with Him. So I'm praying for her. Where are we now? Well, I've been praying for her for 6 days, 7 days. And what I'm hoping to do is sometime in the near future, go in when she's serving again and see if I can make another contact with her. And this time take it another step closer. Because it was interesting, the Lord opened her heart. She's open to talking. So I'm excited about that. So maybe if you think about it, you would pray for me. Now, that's my story. So it's kind of a neat one. I enjoy doing that kind of thing. And I'm praying for Miley. Now then, it's going to be your turn. So what I'd like you to do is this. We're going to partner up, and I want you to share a story about something God did. It can be sometime in your life, and I want it after salvation. I don't want your salvation experience. I want something that God did in your life. Any time between the time you met Him and today, okay? So you're not limited by any stretch of the imagination. Anything. I want you to think of a time that God worked. I want you to think about, what did God do? See, for me, with Miley, you know what God did? What did God do? He put me in the path of her. And I began to see Him beginning to open her heart. You know? But God did that. Because, I mean, how do you choose who's going to serve you in a place? And so God put me in the place where I was with the right person. So, what has God done? That's going to be the number one thing with it. And the second thing is, what was the setting? Where were you when this took place? How were you involved? And what were the results? Now, can I pick on you? Because you gave a fabulous testimony a couple of months ago. So could you come up here a minute? This is really, she didn't know she was going to do this. And I tell you, I'm so sorry for, I hope this won't mess you up. But I don't think it will. You went to camp. Do you remember the story about going to camp? So hold your mic up there a minute. You went to camp, and when you were at camp, when you went there, there was something that was fearful about going to camp. Do you remember what it was? What was fearful?
That I wasn't going to make any friends.
That you weren't going to have any friends. And I got to tell you, that's a big, big fear. Because she had to go at another week than the week you normally used to, right? Yeah. But God did something during that time. What did He do?
He gave me friends to make.
He gave you friends to make. I mean, that's a big help that He did. And you remember the day she gave the testimony, those of you who were here? I mean, it impressed all of us big time. And what impressed us was that you went before the Lord, and the Lord met your need and helped you. And that's really, really good. And so I think when she was giving the testimony that day, she told us what God did. She told us the setting she was in, that she was there, and there was this fear. She told us, you know, what she did. And then somebody just came by, didn't they, and said, hi. I mean, how did the girl begin the conversation with you about being a friend? Do you remember?
Well, I actually started the conversation.
Oh, you started it?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's great. What did you say to her?
I said, hey.
But you know what? That sometimes is hard to do. And I just thought that when you gave that testimony, that was so special for us. And I still remember that, don't you, that day? I mean, that was great. So, thank you. I hope that wasn't too painful. What I want you to do is I want you to talk about something God did. All right? Now, one of the things we're going to do is keep it succinct, keep it kind of small. I had a friend who was out, and he came upon a wreck. And the wreck was, he was the first person on the scene. and he had had a little bit of first aid training, but hadn't wanted a paramedic by any means, none of that. But the guy was bleeding profusely, and he'd severed an artery, and he knew enough to get some cloth and push down on that and put pressure. But the guy was bleeding. So he took his shirt off and put that on it. It got soaked. He took his T-shirt off, put that on it. It got soaked. I mean, this guy was bleeding out. And he didn't have long. And the guy was really scared. And my friend said to him, do you know about the Lord Jesus? And he said, no. And so he couldn't give him a 30-minute testimony. The guy's dying. He gave him a very short 30-second testimony and said, would you like to come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And the guy cried and said, please. And he prayed and he died. So, I don't know that you're going to have that experience, but I'm really glad that my friend had enough understanding to be able to move in, go right there and not spend a whole lot of time. Well, when I was 5 years old, he went right to the point because he didn't have time. And, you know, today we're finding that people don't have a lot of time, and you need to go right to the point, right in. If you get a chance for a hearing, you need to go right in and be able to share. So I just want to encourage you to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a couple of minutes, and I want you to pair up guys with guys, gals with gals, all right? And I would like for you to share it, like it'd be outside of your immediate family, if we could. And I'd like to have you share. Now, these are the points. You need to think about what God's done. Tell us what the setting was, how you're involved, what the results. And again, we want to try and get this down. So we're going to try this today, okay? Would you do that for me? All right, everybody does it. All right, let's get together with somebody. All right, now then I got a question for you. And this is going to be the question that I'm going to ask you. What was the topic that the person you talked with shared about? Okay? What topic about God? What was the thing that God was doing? Okay? Do you understand my question? What was the topic? With me, it's how God led me to a gal who didn't know Him. So how do you... What was the topic? What was the topic that was there? Ashley? What was the topic?
About how God helped out him. I met with John Jr. about how God helped him when he broke his arms when he was 8.
Okay. So how God helped when he needed help when he broke his arm. Great. Jim? Very good. Very good. Boo? What was the topic that they said?
God's guidance.
Good. That's fine. That's fine. Juliana?
It was about Ricky just asking for blessing for a guy that she might have to do some work. And just really the Lord being able to just sing the Lord's work through every step of the Lord.
Sure. Sure. You know what happened just a couple minutes ago? We had... I mean, how many people we have here, Al, today? Roughly.
Close to 70.
All right, so we got to hear 70 different, about 65 anyway, different testimonies were shared about God and what God has done. You understand? That's a powerful thing. And I would like to encourage you to think, and next week I'd like you to come here having this thought, because we're going to do this again next week. But I'd like to having this thought, okay? I want you to think about two different ways, two different topics, all right? And they can be anything that God's done. Two different topics. You come with two different topics. And by that I mean the topics and the stories, okay? So remember we talked about fear being one, God helping you with fear, God helping you on, how many areas? Knowing how to pray. What to say to a person, taking care of situations for you. So God's help, God's deliverance, God battling evil ones for you or giving you the ability to understand that you need to deal with that. So you come in next week with two different things and stories about that, okay? Do you understand that? Shake your head like this. Up and down. Yes, okay. All right. I want you to think, what's the topic of this? What's the topic of this? So that we can make sure people grab a hold of that. And we want to make sure that God gets the highest billing in everything that we share. And now thank you, Lord, for these people who know you and walk with you and talk about the things of you in the lives of others. Would you help all of us that we would get better at that so that we can succinctly tell about your greatness to people we come in contact with? Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to share. And we thank you that in the future you're opening up many, many, many more opportunities. Would you give us wisdom in knowing how to share well? Thank you for blessing these folk as they walk with you this week. May they see your hand moving in their lives as they traverse the situations of their life this week, that they might be able to number their days and just praise you for all the things you've done. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us in Jesus' name. Amen.